think it's
Brahma Samhita meter. So let's see if we can figure it out. Well, first do word by word. It's quite a list. Ridha, Siddhivraj, Vijayita, Satyadharma, Samadhi, Brahma Anandaha, Guruhu, Api, Chamatkarayati, Eva, Tavat, Yavat, Premnam, Maduripu, Vashikara, Siddha Asaudinam, Gandaha, Api, Antakarana Sharani Pantatam, Na Prayati. Ridha Siddhi Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Samadhir. I'm a little nervous. What's the meter? Can you help me? Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Samadhir. Siddhi Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Samadhir. Brahmanando Guru Api Chamatkarayatya Eva Tavat. This is not going well. What's that meter? Govindam Adipursham, Govindam Tamo. No, it's like that. Huh? No, we'll get it. I'll just need to get the meter, because I'm so nervous I forgot the Brahma Samhita meter. Right. No, it's not? So which meter is it then? Okay, well, I'll just try it anyway. Ridha Siddhi Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Samadhir. Ridha Siddhi Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Brahmanando Guru Rapi Chamatkaryatya Eva Tavat. Yavat Premnam Maduripu Vishakara Siddhau Sadhinam. Gandopi antakarana sharani pantatam na prayati. Ridha Siddhi Vraja Vijayita Satya Dharma Samadhir. Brahmanando Guru Rapi Chamatkaryatya Eva Tavat. Yavat Premnam Maduripu Vishakara Siddhau Sadhinam. Gandopi Antakarana Sharani Pantatam Na Prayati. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. Anybody wants to try? Or shall I just move on? Okay, I'll just move on. Ridha, excellent. Siddhivraj, of the groups of material perfections of the yogis. Anima, Lagima, Prapti, and so on. Vijayita, the victory. Satya Dharma. The religious principles of perfection. Satya, Sama, Titiksha, and so on. Samadhi, the yogic perfection of meditation. Brahma Anandaha, the spiritual blissful life of the monist. Guruhu, very high immaterial considerations. Api, although. Chamatkarayati, they appear very important. Eva, only. Tavat, that long. Yavat, as long as. Premnam, of love of Krishna. Madhuripu, of Krishna, the enemy of the Madhu demon. Vashikaraha, in the controlling. Siddha Asaudinam, which is like perfect herbs that can control snakes. Gandaha, a light fragrance. Api, even. Antakarana Sharani Pantatam, a traveler on the path of the heart. Napriyati, does not become. Translation. As long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfected medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of material perfection, known as the siddhis, the brahminical perfections, such as sama, tatiksha, and so on, the trance of the yogis, and the monistic bliss of Brahman, all seem wonderful for man. Purport. There are different types of material perfection known as siddhi vraj, brahminical qualifications, yogic trance, and merging into the supreme. All these are certainly very attractive for a mundane person, but their brilliance exists only as long as one does not take to devotional service. Devotional service can control the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller of all universal affairs. The five rasas, mellows, in the transcendental world are practiced by the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan in neutrality, servitorship, friendship, paternal affection, and conjugal love. All these please the Lord so much that he is controlled by the devotees. For instance, Mother Yashoda was so advanced in devotional service that Krishna agreed to be controlled by her stick. In other words, the five principal mellows are so great and glorious that they are able to control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the material world, however, the so-called siddhis or perfections manifest their brightness only as long as one is not interested in devotional service. In other words, the perfection of the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and other remains attractive only as long as one does not come to the point of devotional service, which is so great and significant that it can control the Supreme Controller, Krishna. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ginangina Silakya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuda Phalakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Lalita Sri Vishakans Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasanubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadhadhar Sri Vahasadi Ghora Bhaktivarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll recite a few more verses for extra auspiciousness. Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Offer my obeisance unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is none different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prempadayane, Krishna Echetanya Namne Goratvisha Namaha. Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi, Vamshivat Tathastitaha, Karshan Venu Swanhar Gopir, Gopinata Shriestunaha. Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vamshivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Jai. So, I was just wondering, how many college students are here today? Two? So three, four. Because today we're reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is the postgraduate study. And it's also a very nectarian book. I was just preparing it, and I was looking. Here's one explanation. Let me see. The word Chaitanya means living force. As living entities, we can move, but a table cannot, because it does not possess living force. Movement and activity may be considered to be signs or symptoms of the living force. Indeed, it may be said that there can be no activity without the living force. Although the living force is present in the material condition, it is not Amrita, immortal. The word Chaitanya Charitamrita, then, may be translated as the character of the living force in immortality. It can also mean, like, Charita means characteristics, and Amrita means, of course, nectar, or like Prabhupada says, immortal, because what's immortal is the real nectar. So the nectarian characteristics of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, it's nectar. It's a very, very nectarian book, and I hope I can sort of, because when I was preparing it, at least a few days ago, I really sort of got the nectar. I was preparing sort of the introduction of this chapter. It's a discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. And he went there actually with his brother. It's near Prayag, where the Yamuna and the Ganga come together. It's a special place there, which I now forgot due to nervousness. I don't know why I get so nervous, because you are all so nice, but it's probably something to do with Pratistha or something, I don't know. Anyway, we'll just try to share with what I prepared. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled to Prayag, which is something I would like to share, because it was quite interesting. First of all, there was this pastime with Rupa and Sanatan. Sanatan, he was still in prison, and Rupa Goswami, he was traveling with his little brother to Prayag to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Prayag, it's near Vrindavan. After this story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will order Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan and start writing. Well, this is the summary, but mainly this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectar, or the nectar of devotion. The chapter, of course, you all read it already. I wasn't here, but it describes a little bit about Rupa Goswami and how nice he is, and about his brother. Let me see. Yeah, so Sanatan is still in prison, and Rupa was already going to Prayag. At Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the temple of Bindu Madhava, and many hundreds of thousands of people followed him just to meet him. Some of the people following the Lord were crying, some were laughing, some dancing, and some chanting. Indeed, some of them were rolling on the ground exclaiming, Krishna, Krishna. So here it is said, Prayag is located at the confluence of the two rivers, the Ganges and the Yamuna. So seeing the great crowd, the two brothers remained standing in a secluded place. They could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to see Lord Bindu Madhava. So I'll skip a few verses. Seeing the Lord from a distance, the two brothers put two clumps of straw between their teeth and immediately fell down on the ground like rods, offering him obeisance. I once did a play, and it was about those two bad guys. What are their names? Jaga and Madai. And they did the same thing, actually. They also put straws in their mouth. And I was doing it in the play, and then some of the others were saying, you shouldn't take it literally. But it seems from these descriptions that we actually should. Because it's very clearly said here that they actually took the straw in their mouth. Both brothers were overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion, and reciting various Sanskrit verses, they stood up and fell down again and again. So Sri Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, stand up, my dear Rupa, come here. It is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, for he has delivered you both from the well of material enjoyment. So they were just coming I think it was Jagannath Puri. Anyway, from the Nawab's, he was his minister. Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literature, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is in pure devotional service. After reciting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their heads. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers unto the Lord. So then there's all these prayers. And then they're invited for lunch by Balabhadra Bhattacharya, which is a hall, or Vallabha Bhatta. This is another kind of sampradaya, and this is a whole pastime by himself, but the main thing that we should take from it is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's said here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great ecstatic love when they began discussing Krishna, but the Lord checked his feelings because he felt shy before Vallabha Bhatta. So Vallabha Bhatta was very exalted, very qualified. At the same time, he wasn't so qualified that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sharing his ecstasies. But, you know, he tried to retain it, but he couldn't. Vallabha Bhatta was astounded to detect it, so he detected it. So he was quite advanced, actually. From a distance, the brothers Rupa and Sri Vallabha fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Vallabha Bhatta with great humility. And Rupa Goswami said, I'm untouchable and most sinful. Please do not touch me. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts to glorify Rupa Goswami. He says, don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. You are a follower of Vedic principles, Vallabha Bhattacharya, and are a well-experienced performer of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy. Anyway, so then Vallabha Bhatta, he sort of understands that Rupa Goswami is very exalted. So this is what I wanted to share with you, because this was very ecstatic, I thought. So, because then Vallabha Bhatta, he brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his own place. Vallabha Bhatta then put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates aboard a boat and took them to his own place to offer him lunch. While crossing the river Yamuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the glossy black water and was immediately bewildered with ecstatic love. Indeed, as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, he immediately made a great sound and jumped into the river. Everyone was filled with fear and trembling to see this. I just hope you can picture this, how ecstatic this all is. They all hastily grabbed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pulled him out of the water. Once on the boat's platform, the Lord began to dance. Due to the Lord's heavy weight, the boat began to tilt. It began filling up with water and was on the verge of sinking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to retain himself as far as possible before Vallabha Acharya, but although he tried to keep calm, his ecstatic love could not be checked. Seeing the circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally became calm so that the boat was able to touch the shore of Aidila and land there. So then the Lord took bath and they went to his house. And here's one other thing I wanted to share with you, specifically with the sadhus. It says here, Vallabha Bhattacharya first offered the remnants of the Lord's food to Srila Rupa Goswami and then to Krishna Das. So my question is this Krishna Das? Kaviraj Goswami? Was he there actually? Is this someone else? You think so? He's a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami, right? Yes, he's a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. He wasn't there. It was someone else. Because I thought he was a contemporary. Yes? Okay. But who is this Krishna Das then? The point I raise it because I know this writer, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's very humble. So it might be him. Why couldn't it be him? Huh? Okay. Well, I'm just raising the question. Well, yes, because he's very humble. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, so that maybe clears the matter then. Okay. And then what is also very, you wanted to say something? Right, okay, thank you. I'm just trying to sort of set the scene, because it's only 500 years ago, and it's, of course, Bhagavatam, we also accept that it's truly happened, but for this it's more easy to understand that it's actually happened. But I just want you to a little bit understand that more deeply. So what I also thought was very interesting is that, already was clear that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into the Yamuna and all the devotees, they were very concerned about him. And then they bring him to the other side, but then they don't go anymore to the Yamuna because they're scared that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will again jump in, and so they take the other river, they take the Ganga. Okay, I will try and here it is. Vallabha Acharya avoided the river Yamuna, putting the Lord on a boat in the river Ganges. He went with him to Prayag. And then due to the great crowds in Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called Dashavamedha Ghat. So that's where it was. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. So so that is actually what is going on now. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Rupa Goswami about devotional service. And this is one of the verses. It's actually quite a significant verse. We shouldn't underestimate these things. I can speak a little bit about it. Things like it's here in the purport, the siddhis. It's here in the anima, lagima, prapti. So for instance, prapti siddha, I happen to know. Prapti means to obtain. So you can just get a mango from India while sitting here. So we shouldn't underestimate these powers. Actually, just recently one devotee kind of fell to these powers, So, and that can happen if we... It's described here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as long as there's not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfected medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of the material perfection all seem wonderful for man. So we'll get bewildered by these things, because they are actually very attractive for us. I mean, sometimes we talk about, you know, name, fame, and these kind of things. That already is very attractive for us. Just imagine if we meet someone, and these things will happen more and more, because our movement is becoming more and more famous. It's like, for instance, this castle, it's very prestigious. And people will come, important people will come, yogis will come, and they will be very impressive. And they might allure us. They might say, why don't you join me? Why don't you come and become a leader in my movement, and I can give you special powers. And this might actually not be a bluff, you see. But the devotee, Prabhupada explains, even if Lord Brahma himself comes, he'll say, I have no time. Like Haridas Thakur or Maya was coming, and he was saying, oh, I'm just now coming, as they say in India. Just let me finish my rounds. And by this she was becoming purified more and more, and she actually became a devotee. But the point was that Haridas Thakur, he was duty bound by his number of rounds, which were comes to about 192 rounds. So like that, you know, the devotee, he has his service. Like, you know, now Pujari is doing the puja, he has his service. So somebody might come, if the Pujari is genuine, he will say, I'm sorry, after my puja, I'm scheduled. Or he can reschedule, but if he can't, then he will be duty bound, and he will just do the puja, no matter what. I mean, and Prabhupada really appreciated it. He said you should become lifetime president. You just stick to the service. So we should try not to be alert by these things. And the way to do this is, like Rupa Sanatana Prabhu was saying yesterday, is by having some duty, but also by getting some taste, because that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. We should have... we should have some taste for this devotional service. And that's what I, you know, when I prepared this book, that's what I sort of discovered, that it's such a nectar actually to read this. And we should try and experience that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, or Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Prabhu, he's sharing his ecstasies. He's describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course there's Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is more the history, more chronologically, the lilas, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this is more the internal ecstasies, like here we're, and it's more philosophical, of course. Here we're reading this discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. So it's more intimate and it's more detailed, and therefore, in one sense, it's more ecstatic. And they are allowing us to share in those ecstasies. All we have to do is to read it, but we have to make the time. So the chapter goes on. There's another few things that I wanted to share, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining very deeply about devotional service. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here he's quoting this famous verse, Anya Abhilasita Sunyam. This is not the next verse, but the one after that. Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So in the purport, I can give the translation. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably, as Krishna desires. So this is another important thing, that we must try to serve Krishna constantly. It's not even, as far as I understand, it's not even so important what is your service, but just make sure that it's filled with Krishna. Like Prabhupada, he would read Krishna book when he had extra time. And he would comment on Gauridas Pandit Prabhu. He was also reading Krishna book, and Prabhupada said, just see, he was so happy, he has some extra time, because he was working very hard, he was serving Prabhupada in the last days, he has some extra time, just see, now he's reading Krishna book. So Prabhupada was very, very pleased to see that. So we should try and develop this this mood of always trying to chant Hare Krishna. Like I remember we were doing the presentation in the slideshow room, and then it took a little while, and then some devotees started to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the mood. It's very good mood, you know. So we should try to obtain that mood of always trying to serve Krishna. Me in particular, I waste so much time, and it's in the purport of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes this Upanishads, I think it was discussed yesterday also, and I looked up this verse in the Upanishads, and it says that the sense objects are stronger than the senses. In other words, Maya is stronger than us. So as soon as we see something, and any shopkeeper will attest to this, as soon as you see something, you have to buy it, or you get attracted. So we should see this, you know, this book. We'll put our nose inside this book, and then we'll get attracted. We'll think, oh, I need to finish the chapter. You see? So we just have to fill our day with Krishna Katha, with Krishna activities. We just have to draw the mind from other activities, and then gradually we will become attached. Also to these programs, I will speak a little bit more on that in about a minute. These programs also, if we just keep following them, we'll get attached to them. We will get attached to them, and we'll feel physically, I mean, there is some ego involved there, which is not bad. It's called peer pressure. It's good. We help each other to come. People say, hey, where were you? So that's also good, although it's not pure, but it helps us to come. I mean, I've lived a little bit outside, and I didn't go much to Mangal Arati. But when I'm here, I almost miss nothing, you know. But also, physically, sometimes I feel just bad if I miss it. I feel like sometimes I miss Mangal Arati, and then I have to do my japa, and it's not the same japa. Because you jump around, you chant Hare Krishna, you get completely purified. And physically, it actually changes the body. So like that, we can become attached to these things more and more. We just have to apply ourselves. Like I can give one other example, like Brahmananda's brother, Bhargamuni, he was saying, Prabhupada, Brahmananda tells a story in the memory stage, I don't really feel like bowing down when you come in. This was in the early days. Should I bow down? And Prabhupada said, yes, you should bow down. So gradually the feeling will come. So one question I had about this verse, does anybody know where this verse is from? Because it seems to me Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just maybe making it up or quoting it. Yes? But there's another verse, Sarvapadivanir Muktam, Tatparedvana Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesa, Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. And there, Prabhupada, I'll give the translation also because it's such an important verse. Bhakti, or devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. So this verse, Prabhupada says, is quoted from the Narada Pancharatra, is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.12. Anybody knows that this other verse, Anya Bilasta Sunyam? Yeah, but it's quoted in this book. Well, this is summary. And it's, well, my point is that it seems to me that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling it here to Rupa Goswami. And he's quoting it. I'm just trying to I'm not sure. Huh? I'm just the point I want to make is that it's such a nectar. You know, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's discussing it, he's quoting this verse, or he's telling him this information, and then later Rupa Goswami is writing it, and now we all know it. So it's just so intimate, this book. And this is you know, it's like history in the making. We're being part of this discussion. And later they travel, Rupa and his brother, his younger brother, to Vrindavan, and then they start writing all these things. Because at the end of this discussion, Sri Mahaprabhu, I'm just giving you a summary. You can elaborate on this. And you know, as they say in America, boy, they did. You know, they completely elaborated. They wrote so many books. Anyway, these are key verses in our movement. And Yeah, I'm just trying to impress upon you how scientific it is. I bought this book recently. I didn't unpack it yet because I wanted to impress myself that I actually bought it and that I'm not so much. Now I have to open it. I'm not so much, reading Prabhupada's books. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And, wow, these guys from the VBT, they really know how to package things. And here it is, Prabhupada's book. You know, we can buy it. This is actually a commercial. It's a very nice book. It's actually a little bit underestimated book. It's not so much read or given class on. We should try to give class on it in the evening, maybe. Because I want to end now, but I just want to impress upon you, because we're discussing about the mind and different things were mentioned, and but I just want to impress upon you how scientific our process really is. There are 64 items, because I think it's also mentioned, I kind of forgot it, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentions it somewhere here in the discussion. Let me see. According to the devotee, attachment falls within the five categories of Santa, Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya Rati and Madhurya Rati. These five categories arise from the devotee's different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also five varieties. So then there's this huge purport about these different ras. One thing I wanted to share with you, a devotee in the Santa Rati is not very much willing to render service to the Lord, but a devotee in the Dasha Rati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, the devotee in the Dasha Rati realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead more fully than a devotee in Santa Rati. So Prabhupada, he says that the Santa Rati realization of Krishna is in the neutral stage between the conception of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to the personal feature of the Lord. An appreciation of the greatness of the Lord is called Santa Rati. This is attachment not to the personal feature but to the impersonal feature. Generally, one in this stage is attached to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains about that and about these mellows. It's very. We'll read it in the coming weeks. Anyway, I've kind of lost my verse here, but the point is that we're reading this verse, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is stressing that we need to get taste for devotional service, and if we don't have that, then we're going to be attracted by other things. So I just wanted to impress upon you these 64 items. I won't read them all, but a few of them that are important in devotional service. Anyway, I might come on it later when we do the questions. So there's the 10 first one Rupa Goswami mentions. I'll just read a few. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Like sometimes I give class from Bhagavad Gita, and I think Prabhupada mentions it somewhere that actually this verse, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, is actually the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Because the surrender that needs to take place at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that ultimately needs to take place at a spiritual master. So here Rupa Goswami is confirming that. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master. So taking shelter is one thing, then becoming initiated is the next thing. And learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. So it's very, very scientific. 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, and the direction of the spiritual masters. So then it goes on. Then there is the next 10. One should ritually give up the company of non-devotees. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. etc. Prabhupada says, without following the above mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice. That's basically what we're doing. So altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely, I'll just read them one more time, accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence are the most important. I'll just read a few more just to give you an idea. The next important items are as follows. One, one should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnav. Two, in marking such tilak, sometimes one might write Hare Krishna on the body. Three, one should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and put them on one's body. Four, one should learn to dance before the deity. So it goes on. I'll just read a few more. 44, one should live in the jurisdiction of Mathura. Prabhupada says, now the total regulative principles come to an aggregate of 64 items. As we have mentioned, the first are the primary 10 regulative principles, then come the secondary 10 regulative principles, and added to these are the 44 other activities. So altogether there are 64 items for discharging the regulative practices of devotional service. Out of these 64 items, 5, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtan, and living in Mathura are very important. I'll just finish it. It's the end of the chapter. The 64 items of devotional service should include all of our activities of body, mind, and speech. Now this is the sannyasi. They have these dandas, and it symbolizes this body, mind, and speech. Should all be in the service for Krishna. Prabhupada many times said that you're also sannyasi, pointing to his grihasthas. So there's no exception. And anybody should do this. As stated in the beginning, the regulative principle of devotional service enjoins that all of our senses must be employed in the service of the Lord. Exactly how they can be thus employed is described in the above 64 items. Now Srila Rupa Goswami will give evidence from different scriptures supporting the authenticity of many of these points. Just see how scientific our process is. So I'll stop there, open the floor for questions or comments. Oh, that's good. Oh, yes, please.
Regarding the true and wrong, without something like idolatry, in two cases, one was you make him a fancy, and another one was you would want to be accepted as a servant to do a job that in the family, then you would put the straw in your mouth and you would go to the door and back for either a job or something. So it was actually, you would physically put the straw, that would be a sign of your submission.
What, you mean the householders would do that, or the brahmacharis would do it?
No, anybody who wanted to. For example, if like somebody would make some offense or some kind of misdeed, then one of the redemption together with the punishment would be to go door to door with the 20.
Oh, I see. Yeah, another point that comes to mind is that Prabhupada also says that we should go out and we should tell people that, you know, you're very qualified, you're a very nice person, and then we preach to them. This was Prabhupada's tactic of preaching. I'll read one more verse. Bhukti Mukti Spriyaya Vat. The material desire to enjoy the material world and desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be the two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two wishes remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. So to enjoy the material world and to desire to become liberated from material bondage, or in other words, to be afraid of to suffer, to I want to stop suffering. And Krishna says, Sitoshna Sukha Dukada, you just have to tangsa tikshusha, you just have to tolerate it. Oh, here it is. This is what I was looking for. Srila, let me just read this verse and then I'll end. If one is infected with a desire for material, and this is the verse before this. If one is infected with a desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord, even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. So that's why I was just reading it. And then just the purport and then I'll end. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that if one maintains within his heart a desire to enjoy the result of good work or being embarrassed by the material world, the desire to get out of material entanglement, one will never be able to attain the transcendental malice of devotional service. In other words, one must not desire material profit when rendering devotional service. And here it is. Even if one follows all the 64 regulative principles, he cannot attain pure devotional service with a contaminated heart. So I was just reading them. They seem to be quite practical. But we have to give up. It's like Draupadi, Suryakund was mentioning her. We just have to surrender. We have to give up in our heart a desire to enjoy the result of good work. You know, good karma, enjoyment, heavenly planets, and, you know, being famous, having money, and being embarrassed by the material world, the desire to get out of the material entanglements. So once you've had all the parties and this and that, then you think like, this is not really working, I want to get out. So that also has to be given up. Anyway, like you said yesterday, we can meditate on it during the day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.